I think now is a really good time to have your eyes open. You know, you do have to take some risk when things are trending down. You have to be a contrarian in the sector or you're going to be a victim. It's getting to me to feel like that level of despondency right now, which has me personally excited, because that's how it typically feels when you're close to a turning point. I think now is a really, 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 really good time to be looking at what's high quality and what's sold off and is now very cheap.
The Resource Insider Investment Service provides independent research and access to exclusive investment opportunities in the mining and metal space. See the link in the show notes below to learn more and use discount code MSE when you sign up for a 15% discount. And make sure you also download the free Resource Insider ebook by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Powers with MiningStockEducation.com, and I'm reporting again from Toronto. I'm sitting down with my friend Sam Broom, an investment executive with Sprott Global. You can find Sam on the internet, on Twitter in particular, at The Nude Investor is his handle. Sam, thanks for taking the time to sit down with
Bill. No problem. Great to be here.
So we're in the middle of the second day of the conference. What are your thoughts on the conference so far?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Obviously, the price action in the commodity space the last sort of few weeks, and especially the last few days, means there's a lot of talk about what's going on in the sector. I'm finding that really interesting. Obviously, all the exhibitors here, in terms of companies, they're all companies that we've been involved with at some point. So it's been great to catch up with a bunch of the issuers, get the latest updates. I'm feeling really, really positive about the sector, actually. I know that's probably contrary to how a lot of people are feeling right now, but I'm really excited. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. Haven't had a chance to listen to any of the speakers because I've just been so busy catching up with clients and issuers. So it's been really good.
And what feedback have you gotten from some of your clients and attendees just by man in the Sprott booth? What feedback and what are you sensing?
I'm sensing a lot of kind of uncertainty, and people are just saying, wondering, is this the bottom? And I think based on the sentiment I'm getting, this is usually how it feels when you're getting close-ish to a bottom in the space. So from that regard, it's been really useful to gauge sentiment and see what the general Joe public is feeling. There's also a lot of optimism out there. When you get these sort of downward slides in the commodity prices, the cream tends to rise to the top a little bit. So it can be really useful looking at who's able to finance, who's got projects that are actually, that are doing interesting and insightful exploration. And at this point in time in the cycle, a lot of the really good stuff is just dirt cheap. I mean, there are just absolutely opportunities all over the shop that are getting me really excited. It's a good time to have some capital available to put to work, put it that way.
Especially if you're a major looking to buy a good asset. And we've seen that in the last month. There's been some M&A activity. What are your thoughts on the recent M&A activity, and what does it signify?
Look, I'm absolutely huge on the M&A side of things. My clients that are listening to this will know that I think, hands down, buying the takeover plays is the best thing to be doing right now. Nevsun, for example, a couple of days ago, which is probably one of my bigger positions on my book for my clients. We just saw the Lundin officially come out with a sweetened deal cash offer. At the end of the day, just about every single major mining company out there is staring down the barrel of a declining production profile if you go out, five to 10 years. And because of the way the cycle's been, they just haven't done the exploration work to replace reserves and resources. It just hasn't happened. So they've either got two options. They either accept a declining production profile, or they go out and buy something. They can do their own exploration as well. The problem with that is it takes 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 years by the time you stick a drill bit in the ground, make a discovery to get a mine into production. So if they want to avoid that decline, they're going to have to buy stuff. And there's just not that much high-quality stuff out there. So it's kind of a stock picker's dream at the moment. There are a handful of companies that I have a very high conviction, you never know for sure, but I have a fairly good idea that I think they're going to get bought out at some stage. You know, it's always great when it works out as well. The Nevsun example recently is that was one that I thought was going to get taken out. It's played out that way, and I think we're going to see that really increase in the next 12 to 18 months. I think it's going to be, it's going to really ramp up.
In our first conversation about 6 months ago at the beginning of this year, you shared with listeners your top three resource sectors to invest in. The first one was the agricultural commodities. Now that we're halfway through the year, what are your thoughts on the agricultural commodities?
Yeah, so that kind of hasn't played out as I'd hoped yet. Some of these have actually been relatively hammered in the first half of the year. Nothing at all has changed in my thesis there. I really do think that the agricultural space is going to be an interesting place to play. I don't think you have to get cute with the agricultural space. Just general broad basket of exposure to the various commodities. I mean, they're trading at multi-decade lows, a lot of these commodities. I'm going to stick by that. It hasn't quite played out over the first 6 months, but I strongly think that agricultural commodities is something that investors should, at the very least, have their eye on. And you know, I think now is a very interesting time to be a buyer of agricultural commodities, and you know, even things like the fertilizer plays, and they're at 10, 15, 20 year lows in terms of share price. If you're a contrarian and you want a bombed out sector, it's there's some happy hunting out there at the moment.
You were also excited about the precious metals, and you mentioned that you thought they would break out one way or the other. What's your thoughts on gold and silver now?
So yeah, we're pretty much at the point now where I think we've just seen a sort of a capitulation, sort of sell off in the last week, in the last couple of days. 1,200 to 1,220 is a very important level technically. Technicals aren't everything, but it is something that I keep an eye on. So I'm looking for some strong support here. If we do see a solid bounce here, I'm feeling very excited about the gold space. I always had sort of an eye on the second half of this year. For the chartists out there, there's a very large 5 to 6 year reversal pattern, the inverse head and shoulders, that's been playing out for a long, long time.
I think you posted that on Twitter recently.
Yeah, it's a fairly common pattern. I'm not going to pretend that I'm it's some magical insight. It's highly talked about. But if that were to break out, in a symmetrical fashion, you're looking sometime between now and the end of August as that playing out. So that's something I'm keeping a close eye on. I still think precious metals are one of the better places to be right now. Valuations and most mining companies in the precious metal space are exceptionally low and exceptionally attractive. The junior end of the market is, you're finding companies with high quality exploration targets. I mean, it's risky, it's speculation, but these guys are trading for almost cash. You're almost getting, you're moving your cash from the left pocket to the right pocket with all the exploration upside that they have. So, valuations are at a point where I think they're very attractive at this point in time.
And your third sector was the battery leveraged metals. You said nickel's good for speculators. You also like copper, and you previously, the year previous, you liked cobalt. What's your perspective on the battery leveled base metals now?
Yeah, so that's probably the one I got the most right from our previous conversation. I think excluding oil, I think I was looking at things the other day. Nickel has been the best commodity that I keep a close eye on over the past sort of 6 to 8 months. It's come off a little bit recently along with everything else. The Trump trade tariffs kind of whacked the base metal sector with kind of a ask sell first, ask questions later type of sell-off. I remain bullish. I think if you keep an eye on things like the LME stockpiles of nickel, you can see that's continuing to draw down, which is a good sign. I think nickel has to go well north of $20,000 a ton before it'll plateau out for a while. I think it's about 13.5 now or something like that. Copper took a big whack with the Chinese, the trade tariff sort of drama there. I think copper is actually getting down to the point now where it's very attractive again. So I'm very interested in the copper sector. I think the copper space in general is kind of, gold's harder to analyze because the supply and demand fundamentals are very different. It's more demand driven when everyone's fearful and you know, demand goes through the roof, but the supply side kind of is more or less irrelevant on a investable timescale. Whereas copper, you know, you can do your homework, you can look at the supply demand fundamentals, unless you think the world's going to absolutely implode and, you know, we're not going to be building anything for 20 years in the developed world isn't going to continue to develop. The outlook 5 years down the road, you know, the 5 to 10 year outlook for copper looks, it looks pretty dire from a producer standpoint. I mean, to that point where they just don't have, there is no, very few major new developments projects coming online. The supply demand fundamentals from an investor standpoint look very attractive.
6 months ago, you shared that you were focusing on the highest quality single asset development companies, and that you also like lean mid cap producers with growth potential, with highlights on gold and copper in particular. Are you still looking there, or where are you finding the best opportunities?
Yeah, I'm still looking. I've still got a lot of the single asset development plays that I like. I think I mentioned I really like the Aussie space as well, and perhaps I can get you a chart so you can put it along with this, but if you can compare the performance of the Australian All Ordinaries Gold Index, which is loosely it's an index that tracks the sort of Aussie gold's mid-cap space, and you compare it to the GDX, you compare it to probably the most similar is the TSX Global Gold Index. They're both run by S&P Global, similar criteria. I mean, they're just... It's like it's a completely different commodity they're mining or something, because the ASX has just completely outperformed just about everyone else. So that I remain particularly focused in Australia, but there are a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in Canada that on the TSX and the New York Stock Exchange that I am liking. But yeah, that is the realm where the takeover candidates exist. So that's where I'm hunting at the moment and spending a lot of time looking at those takeover targets.
You're working on a specific project that's related to the Australian market. It's a market-focused managed platform. Could you share more about that?
Yeah, so I've noticed with a lot of my clients that rather than the brokerage, which is traditionally what we've done with the private placements and the private placement-centered junior portfolio, I was getting a lot more into the slightly bigger end of town. With my clients, like I said, the single asset development stage plays and the lean mean producers. And a lot of clients just wanted to hand me money to manage myself, to take the hassle out of things for them. So I'm just in the process. It's not quite live yet, but it should be really soon, starting my own managed platform where I will have an Aussie focus. So it's probably going to be, give or take, around 50-60% of the portfolio will be Australian names. So, yeah, that's going to hopefully launch in the next month or two, and I'm really excited about it and looking forward to, putting my research and into something that I'm really, really passionate about.
And looking forward to the second half of 2018. What are your final thoughts for the resource investors listening to us?
Yeah, I think now is a really good time to have your eyes open and, be prepared to, you do have to take some risk when things are trending down, but I think, to use a Rick Ruleism, you have to be a contrarian in the sector or you're going to be a victim. Now is the time where, personally, from my working at Sprott, I'm noticing probably the worst. I mean, I've been here 2.5 years, so, I just clipped the very end of the 2015, bottoms of the bear market. It's getting to me to feel like that level of despondency right now, which has me personally excited, because that's how it typically feels when you're close to a turning point. Obviously, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think now is a really, 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 really good time to be looking at what's high quality and what's sold off and is now very cheap. And because that's what we're seeing, that's when the savvy acquirers get busy, and that's why I think M&A is really going to increase in the next 12 months. So owning those takeover plays in your portfolio, I think, is really going to pay off over the next 12 to 18 months.
For listeners that want to learn more about Sam, you can just go on Twitter. Again, Sam's handle is the nude investor, and you have a blog at thenudeinvestor.com, but I don't believe that's as active right
now.
Yeah,
that's, people always ask me about the weird Twitter handle. That was my blog before I joined Sprott. Compliance reasons mean I can't really post anymore, so it's kind of a little dated now, but there is some interesting stuff there. If you go and have a look, you can see, I got a little bit lucky and almost picked the bottom of the gold the gold trend back in 2015. But yeah, so follow me on Twitter is probably the best thing. Otherwise, if you want to get in touch with me, I'm always happy to have a chat. You can either give me a call at 1-800-477-7853, or you probably, what's even better is email. My email is sbroom, so sbroom at sprotglobal.com. And yeah, you'll be able to get in touch with me and I'll always respond.
Again, this is Bill Powers with MiningStockEducation.com reporting from the Sprott Conference in Vancouver. Sam, thanks for sitting down.
Bill, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at MiningStockEducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on MiningStockEducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.